The ESB will be setting out the details of its ambitious plans for Money Point power station later today. It's a massive development that will keep Money Point as a major energy hub on the West Coast, but instead of burning coal, making the green switch to wind energy from offshore wind farms off the Clare and Kerry coasts. The plans have been welcomed by Independent Clare TD Michael McNamara. And good morning to you, Michael McNamara.
Good morning.
It's a huge development. Why do you think it matters?
Well, I mean, it's a huge development with the potential to provide enough energy to power 1.5 million homes, which is effectively every home in the country. It's also new technology in that it's floating turbines. People may have seen offshore turbines before, for example, in Copenhagen, just off the airport. For anybody who's ever gone in there, they're there sometime and they're operational right across Europe, but they're fixed turbines, and it's turbines that are fixed to the seabed are likely to be built, I would have thought, perhaps even earlier than these turbines are constructed along the east coast of Ireland. But obviously the west coast of Ireland, the sea is deeper, it's rougher, so by definition it has the potential to harness far more energy, but equally it's exposed to Atlantic storms. Now, this technology is quite new, it's in development. There is a project which has already been in operation since 2017 off the coast of Scotland, which is also developed by Equinor, formerly Statoil, the company that ESB are teaming up with. It's called Highwind Scotland, and they're in the process of developing another floating wind farm off the coast of between Norway and Scotland at the moment. So it is cutting edge technology. It has the potential, obviously, to revolutionise how we deliver energy in Ireland. And it's in Clare, so it's, you know, like Ardna Crusher was cutting edge at the time.
That's not enough as far as you're concerned. Do you foresee, first of all, is this plan popular locally? Do you foresee planning delays or arguments about environmental impact?
I'm sure there would be all of that, but I think there's a growing consensus across Clare and perhaps nationally that we're reaching saturation point with regard to onshore wind energy. The fact that this is offshore, it's in two phases. The first phase is going to be 16 kilometres off the coast. To put that in perspective, it's greater than the distance between Doolin and Inishere. So, you know, it will inevitably, because it's that distance offshore, have less impact upon people's homes, less potential for flicker and all of the things that people fear about onshore wind energy. And, of course, I live quite near Derry Brine in Sleevaughty, where there was a huge landslide some years ago that resulted in Ireland being brought to the European Court of Justice on a couple of occasions. And there's a proposal to build another large wind farm on the other side of the valley in Slievbarna at the moment, so which is controversial. So while I think there will be some scepticism about it, I do think that it might perhaps meet less resistance than onshore wind energy is increasingly meeting at the moment, for obvious reasons. I mean, we've seen all the landslides in Leitrim, Donegal of late, and of course the huge one in Derry Brine some years ago.
One other issue, the cabinet, we are learning, is likely to extend hotel quarantine countries. The number is on the list next week. Foreign Affairs Minister Simon Coveney telling us yesterday it was needed to keep out new variants. You've said it's going to destroy tourism, aviation and the multinational sectors. Mm-hmm. Why do you believe that?
Well, because, you know, we introduced lockdown for 2 weeks a year ago now. So what I'd like to know is, how does this end and where does this end? Why are we the only country in Europe introducing this? Is it because we have better scientific advisors, better medical advice? I mean, I would question why we're so out of step with the rest of Europe. I don't. The Chief Medical Officer of England, Professor Chris Whitty, said that it is inevitable that variants are going to circulate. It is inevitable that they're going to
and variants can overcome vaccines. That's
Sorry?
The fear. Variants, that new variants could overcome vaccines. That's why we want to keep them out, isn't it?
So then are you saying that we do this indefinitely? And if we do, how does that sit with our membership of the European Union and freedom of movement within it? Because if it drives a wedge between us and the rest of the European Union, it will be, as I say, disastrous for our economy, which is already going to be under pressure because of the corporate tax measures being introduced by Joe Biden and the OECD BEPS scheme. I do think that this has the potential to do considerable damage. I mean, our aviation sector is already close to destruction. Planes that were bringing people into Ireland, driving economic development in Ireland, are now flying people over and back across the Atlantic. Ryanair have moved most of their short-haul planes out of Ireland. Other countries are moving on in a safe way, or what they determine to be in a safe way. I think our definition of safe, I heard your bulletin earlier where Deputy Roland Lynn said it's their job to be cautious and conservative. I completely accept that. But it is equally the job of government to govern in the interests of all sectors of society and all people in society. And bearing in mind that the vulnerable have been largely vaccinated at this stage, I simply don't know what we're waiting for to try to develop to open up our economy again.
Okay.
Because we are going to need a functioning economy to pay for a health service that is going to have to deal with the variants circulating. If the French equivalent of NPHET, the British equivalent of NPHET, and their equivalents right across Europe are right and NPHET is wrong.
Thank you for your time this
morning.
We have to leave it there. 24 minutes past 7. Michael McNamara